Welcome again to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're sure glad that you are here today. It's time to get your Bibles and pull up a chair, turn up the radio, and be ready to become a student in this class. Today, we're going to begin with our special feature, and that is we're going to read from the Rockcliffe Review. Now, that's the bulletin we pass out to those who assemble together to worship at Rockcliffe on Sunday mornings. It often has something to do with a sermon that I would preach there that morning, but this particular Sunday morning, I was not going to be there. And so I wrote this about the translations of the Bible. Now, you may have noticed that on this radio program, we are using the American Standard Version of 1901. That Bible was produced. It was the very advanced and cutting edge of scholarship of that day. And generally, there was great respect among them for what they were doing and wanting to give us an accurate translation of God's Word. While some have said it's the most accurate translation in the English language, they took their scholarship both to the foundational text and to the translation process. It's been called the Rock of Biblical Honesty. But it did not replace the King James Version of the Bible. And now it is very hard to find the American Standard Version of 1901. I treasure my grandfather's copy of that. But the King James Version is still very popular. And that's what I was writing about. For 50 years, I have been hearing that we need to move away from the King James Version of the Bible. But it hasn't happened. Let me read this to you. Requiem for the King James Version? And there's a question mark at the end of that title. Is it time to put away the King James Version? Many think so. 100 years before there was a good alternative, many were already calling for a new translation. We're familiar with the criticisms. We now have a more refined Greek text from which to translate. Now we have a better understanding of Koine Greek. The King James Version uses archaic words. It is hard to understand. These criticisms have lived for generations, and there's a market demand for new translations. The Revised Version was produced in 1885. For a short while, it was a sensation. It was surpassed by the American Standard Version of 1901. Copies of the English Revised Version and the American Standard Version are now hard to find. I treasure my grandfather's copy of the American Standard Version. The Revised Standard Version came out in 1952 with scholarly acclaim, but it soon lost broad public appeal. The translator had taken some bold steps. The version of Isaiah 7:14 was changed to young woman. The familiar begotten of John 3:16 was dropped. The pronouns thee and thou were replaced with the modern you and your. For many, it did not sound like the Bible anymore. But worse, the translators lost the public trust. They did not share the same theology of divine, plenary, verbal inspiration of the Scriptures that the old translators had. They were not as driven to be as technically accurate in all their renderings. For many, this loss of trust extended to other modern translations. The New International Version came out in 1973, and revisions followed under the same name. It set a precedent for a new translation philosophy. Rather than expecting the reader to learn the English of the translators strove to use the words they thought was the English of the readers. Rather than striving for a word-for-word translation, they adopted a thought-for-thought approach. This gave the translators room to smooth out difficult text, and it left the door more open for them to align their renderings with their doctrinal biases. It was a hit. people found it easy to read, and they liked what it said. For years, this has been the best-selling of all English translations of the Bible. But there have been some serious pushback. Three popular modern translations have tried to move back toward the older translation philosophy. The New King James Version of 1982, the English Standard Version of 2001, and the New American Standard Version, and I'll put an S on that, versions of 1971, 1995, and 2020. Each are commendable translations with strengths and weaknesses in various passages. For the most part, these strengths and weaknesses can be readily identified, researched, and explained. The modern Bible reader has a wide selection of translations from which to choose. I have touched on only a few. We used to hear, "Go to the church of your choice," and now we hear, "Read the Bible of your choice." Is it time to lay the King James Version aside? Not so fast. In terms of sales, the King James Version has remained high, consistently coming in second to the New International Version. In 2012, the Norton Critical Editions produced their edition of the English Bible. These literary critics chose the King James Version for their text. They made a lengthy defense of their choice. In it they said, paradoxically, the quest for fidelity rather than rhetorical effect helped make the King James Version not only the most literal, but also the most eloquent of English versions. In 2010, Christianity published a study of Bible readers. There are a lot of Bibles being sold, but what Bibles were being read? The answer surprised them. 55% of Bible readers were reading the King James Version. That meant that more Bible readers were reading the King James Version than all other English translations combined. A study this year, 2022, by Evangelical Bibles found that 39% of Bible readers were reading the King James Version. Well, that's down from the 55%, but it is still three times the number reading the New International Version at 13%, and almost four times the number reading the New King James Version at 10%. By a wide margin, the King James Version remains the most popular Bible for Bible readers, and after over 400 years, with all the criticisms and with all the modern alternatives, that is remarkable. If you want your children to be lifelong Bible readers, you may want to consider acquainting them with the King James Version. It has a proven track record. As modern translations continue to come and go, it looks like the King James Version has settled in for a long stay. Make a place for modern translations on your Bible shelf, but keep a place for the King James Version, a good place. Do not be a King James Version only advocate, but do be a King James Version reader. A familiarity with it will give you and your children a good foundation from which to evaluate the merits, or lack thereof, of modern versions. Well, that's what we had that Sunday morning in the Rockcliffe Review. Now, we read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we are doing in this school is going back and looking at all the Sunday school lessons that were put together by E.A. Elam. We're looking at Sunday school lessons that were written for the Sundays of 1925. And these lessons are collected in a little book called Elam's Notes. We're in the midst of a study of the conversion of Cornelius. And we've come under the subheading about the remission of sins in the name of Christ. Let me read to you what old Brother Elam had to say about this. The gospel was first preached to the Jews, and this order was maintained by the apostles, Acts 13:46. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and the gospel is the gospel of peace. It breaks down the middle wall or partition between Jew and Gentile, and Peter sees this as never before. Jesus is Lord of all, Jew and Gentile. Cornelius had heard of Jesus, his preaching, his miracles, and his death and resurrection. He'd heard how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Under the law of Moses, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with the holy anointing oil. Jesus was anointed to be prophet, priest, and king. Christ means anointed, and so does Messiah. Jesus was made both Lord and Christ when he ascended into heaven, Acts 2 and verse 36. The Spirit descends upon Jesus after his baptism. Before this, Jesus had performed no miracles. He went about doing good, and the apostles were witnesses of his miracles and of his resurrection. They ate and drank with him after his resurrection. In the Great Commission, Jesus commanded the apostles to preach the gospel to every creature and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name everyone that believeth on him shall receive the remission of sins. Isaiah 53:11, Jeremiah 31:34, Joel 2:32. The testimony of the prophets shows that it was God's purpose to save the world through faith in Christ. Three facts are stated here. Number one, remission of sins is through the name of Christ. Number two, that it is promised to those only who believe on him. And number three, this promise is to everyone, Jew or Gentile. Through his name means through him, or by his power, and must not be overlooked. Faith must work by love, Galatians 5:6, and these very persons were soon commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 10:48. And all were baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. Peter said on Pentecost, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins," Acts 2:38. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 19:5. "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. Peter preached on this occasion to the Gentiles just what he had preached to the Jews on Pentecost, that Jesus had risen from the dead, that he was made both Lord and Christ, that the miracles of Jesus prove that he is the Son of God, that Jew and Gentile must believe these same facts, that the apostles were witnesses of his resurrection, and they also bear testimony to Jesus as the Savior. And on both occasions, the Holy Spirit was manifested to show the truth preached was from God. Notice, too, that the Gentiles are required to do just what the Jews were required to do on Pentecost, to believe in Jesus as the Christ of God, that their faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and they must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.